Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with the Merchant Marine Academy baseball coach and president of Valor Sports, Lou Bernardi, joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. Lou, thanks so much for joining us.
Josh, thank you for having me. I'm really excited here today to have this conversation with you.
Well, I got to tell you, I know you very well. I have the privilege of calling you one of my dear friends. But for those of you who are meeting Lou for the first time, Lou is a former baseball player at the New York Institute of Technology. He is also the proud assistant baseball coach and sports specialist for the Merchant Marine Academy. Having pitched for 4 years at the Division I level, Lou compiled over 160 innings and over 60 appearances throughout his career. He is a board member of the Italian American Baseball Foundation, as well as the founder and president of Valor Sports, an organization connecting communities and their families by using athletics as the platform. Lou has also received, you have more awards than I can count, but numerous accommodations, awards, citations. You're a 2011 graduate of NYIT with a degree in criminal justice, and you're a lifelong resident of New Hyde Park. So obviously you are a local boy done well, as I like to say. You have given back so much to the place that raised you, but I want to take it back. How in the world did you get started in your career in sports?
Josh, thank you so much for that intro. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I go back to really growing up, and I was always very active in athletics. I used athletics as almost as an escape from reality. And I think a lot of my fellow athletes that I talk to have a similar theme. And I've always just had a passion and drive for competitiveness and athletics as a whole, not just baseball. And I always thought I was going to do something else. And I kind of got stuck in this thing called baseball. And now 11 years later, I just finished my 11th year, like I said, coaching college baseball and played a little professionally, you know, have really ran up the ranks in that regard. And ever since I can remember, I was always involved in athletics, and it's just something that always stuck with me.
And take us through kind of that journey, because obviously you're a player and you loved playing. So there were a number of steps, because you didn't start out at the Merchant Marine Academy. Kind of take us through that progression of how you got to where you are, because the reason I ask is I love to share on the show the trajectories that people take, because I mean, for you to coach at an elite academy now was not the entry level job. You actually had to grind and really work day in and day out at your craft.
Right, and it wasn't. And I tell people that ask me, should I get into coaching or how do I get into coaching? The best piece of advice I can give is make sure that you stay humble and make sure that you're willing to pay your dues. So after college, I was fortunate enough to play a very short professional career. And I knew I wasn't going to make the major leagues, but I knew I wanted to stay involved in athletics. So I was lucky enough, I got a job at my alma mater, and I started at the D1 level. I was an assistant coach. But I always wanted to have my own pitching staff. I wanted to be able to call something my own. So I left New York Tech, and I took a volunteer position job at SUNY Old Westbury.
Love it.
Volunteer. $0.
Love it.
I had to pay just to get to work, and I didn't get paid to actually do my job. And people look at me and they say, you volunteered? Yeah, I volunteered for 3 years, three full years of my life, from 23 to 25, 26 years old. I volunteered my time just to gain that necessary experience. You know, after Pro Bowl, I got a Division I coaching job. I thought I was the greatest thing, but I realized that, hey, I got to pay my dues and I have to go through the process the right way. So I spent 3 years at the D3 level as a volunteer. From there, I went on to neighboring LIU Post at the time. It was a Division II program. I was the recruiting coordinator, getting paid a very minimal amount. And from there, I said, okay, recruiting was fine. It was fun, but I enjoyed working with the pitchers too much. So I put in for a job at the Division I level at Iona College, and I got that job, and I was a paid assistant at the D1 level. So everything came full circle where I was a paid D1 assistant, a volunteer for 3 years at the D3 level, a very low paying assistant at the D2 level, a very low paid assistant at the D1 level, to finally landing what I call my dream job at the United States Merchant Marine Academy. But each one of those steps, I learned valuable lessons that made me not only the coach I am today, but the person I am today. So trusting the process is a huge piece of advice that I give, and not just wanting to finish the race, but actually running the race. I ran the race for 7 years, 8 years, and I finally, I don't want to say I'm finished, but I'm finally at a place right now where I can settle, and it allows me to do other things, such as work with you on so many projects, which I'm extremely grateful for.
And I'll tell you, you know, we try to weave in so many life lessons into this show. And one of them that I talk about, and I think is a perfect example, is you never say no. And I want to share that, because there's two meanings to that. One is that, you know, you can ask to, you know, you get asked to do things at work, and sometimes you want to set boundaries. You can say no, just like on a Saturday night. You don't have to go out. You can say no. Like, you know, there's something about setting boundaries, but you don't say no in terms of you do everything. You go everywhere. You get asked, can you come to this event? Can you join this board? You never say no. Where does that stem from?
I think it's a humble beginning, where I may have not came from the most, and I might not have the most, but if somebody is asking me for help, or if somebody is asking me to assist, really for any honorable cause that I feel worthy, it's almost my obligation towards my community or towards the individual that's asking me to assist. You know, I feel humbled and I feel flattered. I'd much rather say yes to everybody than be super busy than have nobody ask me for advice or assistance at all. So really, and again, it's the journey. I'm grateful for people that value my opinion. I'm grateful for people that trust my advice. And I'm grateful for people that want me to attend various events. If somebody thinks that I could add value to it, I'll never say no.
And I want to weave in, you know, you are now at this incredible place, the Merchant Marine Academy. I have a number of questions here, but what was it like the first time you stepped on campus? And so many people have not been. So walk us through what it's like to be in this historic place.
I'm going to take you back real quick to the actual interview process. At the time, I was the pitching coach at Iona, D1. I had a very successful staff. I had a ton of players in professional baseball. And I thought the next step from there would have been to land a big time D1 job, right? And I said, oh, this is cool. I'm going to go out and coach. Maybe I can go coach in the ACC. Maybe I can go get a pro job and work for an organization. I applied for this job called the Merchant Marine Academy, which is 20 minutes from my house. And I didn't even know it was there. And I go there, and I'll be honest, I didn't probably go in with an open mind, because I had worked so hard to get back to what I thought was the highest level, being Division I, that I kind of forgot that there were a lot of other places to be that were just as good, if not better. So I took the interview, not open-minded, but the second I stepped foot on campus and I saw people in uniform saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, holding the door open for people and just having an overall level of respect and professionalism, I knew I found home.
And talk us through that, because then not only are you home, but now you have to meet your team. So, I mean, what was it like to transition? And you're a young guy.
I learned a lot. So my first job in college baseball, I was 22 years old, coaching third base at New York Tech. And about 8 of the players I was tabbed now to coach were former teammates of mine. So I learned very young in my coaching career the boundaries that you need to set as a coach, where you can have relationships with your players, but they have to be professional, and you have to make sure you draw the line between friend and coach.
And that's I think it's great, because I'll tell you, you know, my father coached me, and he always used to say, you know, coach your son, I got to be toughest on you than anyone, because you got to draw that line as well in terms of establishing respect with your players. Take us through, because so many people want to go into sports and so many people want to be a coach, but being a coach is more than just, you know, being in the dugout, yelling at the umpire or being on the sideline. Take us through your day to day.
You know, to me, a coach is an educator. And that's the most important part of my job, is being able to teach life lessons. Whether or not they have anything to do with baseball, it's almost irrelevant. So I look at it as a challenge where every day is something different. You know, I never show up and have to deal with the same situation twice. So my motivation is just being actually able to shape and mold the future of our country. And especially at a place like the Merchant Marine Academy, where most of my players are going and commissioning and going to be, you know, military officers, I'm getting them before they go out and lead. So what I teach them or what they learn from me or what they pick up from me is very crucial and beneficial for their own leadership development. You know, and I'll take it one step further. My life kind of changed at the Merchant Marine Academy 3 years ago because our academy's motto is acta non verba. And acta non verba means actions, not words, deeds, not words. So, you know, it everyone says, oh, hey, actions speak louder than words. But actually applying it to your daily life and doing it is a lot harder, That's right. than just saying actions speak louder than words or deeds, not words. So, you know, I took that motto and I took it to heart. And I said, if I'm going to preach this to my midshipmen, then I better make sure I do it in my life, both at the academy, but harder outside of the academy, which is what we do, you and I, on a daily basis.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, I think one of the reasons why, you know, you're beloved by, you know, by so many, but specifically by the people you coach is because you lead by example. And I just think, again, you know, I weave in these life lessons to this show. And anytime you're the leader of an organization, the way you get buy-in is through your own example. And so being a hard worker will inspire your players to work hard. Being respectful will inspire people who work with you to be respectful because people mirror what they see. So I'm really grateful to hear that lesson because I think it's important for all young people. And so here we are. I want to transition. So you're in this amazing role. You're just coming off a championship. I want to make sure I have that correct.
Yeah, we are.
it's incredible. So what are the next steps here?
So we just finished our regular season, which we came in first. We were able to host the Skyline Conference tournament, which we were very fortunate enough to win in extra innings on a walk-off fashion, which was amazing. So the first time in program's history, the United States Merchant Marine Academy baseball team is Skyline Conference champs. And this upcoming Sunday, I don't know when this show will air, but this Sunday coming up, I think it's the 23rd or the 26th, will be the NCAA Selection Sunday.
Amazing.
And they'll send us off anywhere within 500 miles, and we'll go compete in the NCAA regionals. And we're three wins away from going to the National World Series. So it's an exciting time for baseball. It's an exciting time for the program. But more importantly, it's an exciting time for the academy and our alumni, because without their support and those who did it before us, we wouldn't be able to be here today.
It's just remarkable. We wish you the best of luck. I know I'll be watching on TV, unless you have an extra seat on the bus for me. I want to transition and talk a little bit about Valor Sports, because not only are you a great coach, but you're also an entrepreneur. So what is Valor Sports, and when did you start it?
Yeah, Valor Sports has been an idea of mine for a long time. And I'll be honest, during COVID, it gave us a lot of time to reflect and to put ideas down on paper and to act. You know, a lot of people looked at COVID and the pandemic and the tragedy that it was as an unfortunate time, where I looked at it, and I always try to find the positive in things. I looked at it as an opportunity to start something I've always wanted to do. So we started Valor Sports during the pandemic, and our model and mission is simple. It's to create community involvement by using athletics as the platform. Everybody loves sports. Doesn't have to be baseball. And every one of us wants to do good in our communities. So we took the two together. We created Valor Sports. The name Valor to me signifies leadership. Yeah. It signifies unity. So we took Valor, you know, which is obviously, I've always been very active in the community, but now I have a banner for it to stand behind. Obviously my experience in athletics and sports, it just makes perfect sense to put the two together. We have a ton of kids in our programs. We've done work with the PAL, the PBA, various political offices. We're doing a great event, which I'm sure your audience will hear about very soon. And it's just making sure that we can get kids and our community working together in an atmosphere, providing safe instruction, and just giving our youth something to do, because everything was canceled. So now what we need to do is we need to get back outside. We need to get back working together, and we need to shape the minds of our leaders of tomorrow.
And I love that, because so many people reach out to me and say, Josh, I have an idea for a nonprofit. How do I start it? The answer is kind of, you just do. So can you take us through like logistically how you did this? Like, I mean, from everything from I made the Instagram account to I came up with the name, like logistically take us through how you did that.
I met with my partner and we said, let's figure out a name, and this stuck. And from there, we met with the graphic designer. That took a long time to find a logo that would be appealing, not just to sports fans, but to community activists as well, where they see the greater mission and good in our cause. We filed paperwork with our attorney. We created some social media accounts. We made some merchandise. We had some pins, some coins, and from there, the foundation of the idea was set, but without actually doing anything, it's just an idea. So anybody can create an LLC or a nonprofit. Anybody can make a bank account. Anybody can make a t-shirt. But it's what you do with it that really defines who you are. So we hit the ground running and doubled down on so many missions that we wanted to be a part of. And essentially, like we said earlier, anybody who asked me for anything, the answer was yes. And all I wanted in return was to make sure that Valor Sports could be a part of it in some capacity. And I've learned more than ever now, it's much easier to donate with a check than it is to donate with your time. You're always going to get money back. So the ones that just say, I don't want to actually be involved, but here's a check, those aren't necessarily the strategic partnerships and alliances I want to create and surround myself with. The ones that are willing to say, I want to be there, those are the ones, in my opinion, that are truly invested. So, you know, I know you have a lot of young entrepreneurs and a lot of very successful people, you know, on this platform that you have with this podcast. And my challenge to your audience is very simple. Donate more than just money. Donate your time.
Love that.
Donate your time, because if you can actually show up, you're showing that person, that organization, that you, in fact, really do care. And time is something you'll never get back. So people will appreciate that more, I think, than just a check.
I every show, and I say this, you know, I have what I call a nugget, which is what I take back with me, and donate more than just your money is really amazing. And so what I want you to take us through, because you host these amazing events, and people, you know, oftentimes come to me, Josh, I want to host an event. So like when you host, you know, can you take us through an event that you've hosted for Valor and how you set it up? Because I think it's great for our audience to hear, like, you know, you don't need to be a professional party planner to run an event. To the contrary.
You don't. And I live my life. It's funny. And this is one of the people, you know, I think there's a ton of value in networking, right? But the key to networking is the follow-up. You can meet anybody once and then have their business card or email or phone number, but it's what you do after that really defines whether or not that network is ever going to be put to use. So, you know, this past weekend, Valor Sports hosted a huge free baseball clinic with the PAL, the PBA, and the First Precinct down in Uniondale. And, you know, it was a very simple idea, because if you don't ask a question, the answer is always no. So I simply asked the leadership of each three governing bodies here, I want to run a clinic. I want to do something free for the community of Uniondale. I want Valor Sports to be the headline. And I want kids to get out on the baseball field and have fun, interact with each other, and learn. And we took it, and it blew up. It was amazing. It was a huge success. We were planning on doing another one in neighboring communities, and we plan on taking this model nationally. So the simple answer to your question is, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. If you want to do something, ask them. If you want to be involved in a group, or if you want to work in a certain city or town, very simply, just ask the question, because not asking the question, the answer is always going to be no.
I think that's a perfect place to segue, because, you know, you obviously have learned so much, you've grown so much, you've done so much. You're still a young guy. What would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give to your younger self if he was sitting in the studio with us today? Because, and we ask every guest this question, because I think it's important, because, you know, you learn so much and you think, well, what could I have taught myself along the way that I know now? What would that be?
Patience to me, I didn't have when I was growing up. I always wanted everything to be done now. What I've learned now is to trust the process. I'm a true and big believer that everything happens for a reason, whether it's good or bad. In the long run, things tend to work themselves out. So what I would tell my younger self is to not worry so much, not beat myself up over a failure, not beat myself up over something that didn't necessarily go my way. And to say, okay, we have another shot and a better shot to do something tomorrow. And that's how I attack all the missions I get behind now, is let it play its course. Everything happens for a reason, and just trust the process.
Trust the process, from the Philadelphia 76ers all the way to Merchant Marine Academy. We trust the process. Lou, thank you for what you do for our community, for the future leaders of this nation. And thank you for being such a wonderful friend to me. We look forward to having you on the show. I look forward to being at Valor Sports events for years to come. And we can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you. And one more time to the audience, you know, if you picked up one thing from this great podcast here that we did today, is a challenge. And the challenge is to go out and better your community. The challenge is to go out and stand for something you believe in. And the challenge is to use your platform to actually promote some good. So Josh, thank you so much again for having me. And I look forward to working with you in the future.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks, Lou. Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you to Lou Bernardi for an amazing conversation. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan, and thanks for joining us for Java with Josh.